This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any. Whoa, that was, I was really, eat it all.
Eat it all. Well, today we are sitting in front of a small stack of Little Debbie boxes.
And that has nothing to do with the episode, which is about tuna.
No.
It's about Little Debbie snap cakes.
Snap cakes. When I snap, it's pretty loud. I know you probably
I know. You're always bragging about your loud snaps.
Well, so Ash is... Have I bragged
about it on
the
show? People can hear you coming miles away.
No, but Ash is always like, God, your snaps are so aggressive.
No, I don't think you've ever mentioned it on the show before, but it did sound like you were bragging about your loud snaps.
Well, so Ash has had a couple of hand injuries and therefore cannot snap very well.
Okay.
And I think they've got a little bit of a complex about it. So whenever I snap, they're always like, now you're just rubbing it in my face.
But you're so perfectly matched now because you can snap for two.
Hear how crisp
it's,
that is?
Yeah, it's very... Wait, now I want to snap. Not very good. Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
I thought I was good until I heard your loud snaps.
I know. So, they're aggressively good. Anyway, okay. So, today we're talking about
you know
Little
what
Debbie
I should have
snack
said?
Cakes.
Weird flex, but okay. That's
what?
A thing.
Is that a thing that the kids are saying?
The thing that the kids are saying.
Oh, God, there are so many things the kids are saying now that I can't even figure out what the kids are saying.
Well, this episode, one of the kids was listener Megan, who suggested this episode and is presumably an adult, said, I want a Little Debbie episode. This would include Swiss cake rolls, nutty
check,
bars.
Check.
Zebra cakes.
Check.
Star Crunch.
Check. Oh, no. Do we have Star Crunch?
We do not have Star Crunch.
Oh, God.
But I think we have all of the others. So good job, me, who shopped for the Little Debbie merchandise.
I do want to make sure that we include the last thing that listener Megan told us, which is Little Debbie for life.
You think she has a big tattoo that says Little Debbie for life?
No, I think what she has is probably a tattoo of the Little Debbie logo.
Which is
a picture of Little Debbie.
Yeah, it's like got kind of a button nose.
She's really cute. I'm going to tell you all about her because I did the research for today's episode.
Oh, please do. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever bought a Little Debbie product before, and I found the experience puzzling.
Really? Wait, why?
Okay, for two reasons. Number one, I didn't realize it was going to have like its own section at the Safeway.
Is it like, is it in the same area where Hostess is?
It is in the same area where Hostess is, and also Entenmann's, and also, I guess this is a Hostess product, like those individual fruit pies.
What is that section?
Well, at the Safeway... The Safeway in Seattle, it's near the bread. It's like crammed between the bread and the peanut butter.
Ah, okay. I get this. Yeah. I get this. Okay. Like the sandwich bread we're talking.
Right.
Like, okay.
Yeah. No, it's not in like the fancy rustic bread section.
Okay.
And the other thing that was puzzling was the price, because these are large boxes of cakes and cookies, and each of them was $1.99, the price is low enough to that it felt troubling.
Yeah, so I'm going to get to that. But that is one of the things that Little Debbie is known for.
Yeah, okay.
Is being like half the price of its competitors. And the little, you know, the company, McKee Foods, uh-huh. which makes Little Debbie, they claim that they're able to do this because of, like, you know, efficient practices they've developed over the course of 60 years in business. But
I mean,
we're an independent podcast here, and I feel like I just want to put it out there that I just feel like maybe they're able to do this because it's filled with, like, space age polymers.
I mean, probably. I mean, I hope they're delicious space age polymers. But I mean, you know, aside from that, like the ingredients they're using are not, like, expensive ingredients, right?
But like, well, I guess there's probably no butter in these things, right?
Right.
It's probably, like,
so,
fat.
So,
like,
I'm looking,
like,
at the ingredients for the
fats.
Oatmeal cream pies. Wow, it sounds like we're really, like, pulling a Fast Food Nation, like,
yeah.
Supersize Me on Little Debbie, which is not our intention.
No.
But the ingredients are corn syrup.
Syrup.
enriched bleached flour. Palm and soybean oils, sugar, oats. These are not expensive ingredients.
Okay. And big corn has made it such that corn syrup is probably very
yeah,
cheap.
That's
big sugar too.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of big things went into this fairly large box of oatmeal cream pies, and that's why it's so big.
Anyway, have you ever had any Little Debbie brand snack cake before?
I don't want to rule out, like, just in case, like, someone wants to come along and debunk me, I don't want to rule out the possibility that I've like, had one unknowingly, like, in my sleep, one of my, like, ambient fueled, like, sleep walking, shopping, and eating episodes, which just keep happening night after night, and, like, I'm not going to do anything to prevent them because it's just part of my brand now. But I don't think I've ever had a Little Debbie. I'm so glad you're opening them, and this isn't going to be one of those episodes where I have to wait a long time to taste the food.
So I don't know if I've had Little Debbie. Hostess was always the snack cake brand of my youth. Matthew, would you cut a little bit off that? I'm mm-hmm. wearing, like, bright red lipstick today, and I don't want to put my mouth on anything that Matthew and I are eating
together. Did you, like, forget this morning what your job is?
No, except seriously, multiple times this morning as I was, like, making my coffee, getting dressed, whatever, I kept thinking that I was going to therapy mm-hmm. instead of to a podcast taping.
Oh, hence the lipstick.
Because my therapist is in Matthew's neighborhood. But doing a podcast with you is, like, is it the opposite of therapy? Is it therapy?
Wait, so do you think your therapist, like, infers things about your state of mind based on your lipstick color?
No, it's mostly just that I wanted to wear lipstick today.
When I was, like, 20, maybe, and living in Seattle, like, for the first time, living on my own, I mean, not on my own, like, with wife of the show, Lori, but as an adult, I went to a therapist, and while I was seeing the therapist, I got my hair dyed blue and did not foresee, was, like genuinely surprised when that was, like, all the therapist wanted to talk
Wait,
about.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That surprises me. Of course, that it was probably, like, 20 years ago, right?
Yeah. Exactly. It was 20 years ago.
But I think that, like, a therapist now in Seattle would be, like, totally unfazed.
Oh, yeah, of course.
By whatever you showed up with. Like, a
oh,
full
totally.
Body tattoo or anything.
No, like, I think my most recent therapist had blue hair. I'm not even necessarily joking. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly, but, I mean, they had cool hair.
Cool hair.
That's pretty good.
Blue hair. I feel like we could do a Dr. Seuss rhyme here.
The oatmeal cream pie, I want it to have more salt.
But I like it more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I like the soft texture.
Mm-hmm.
It feels kind of legit somehow.
Anyway, so, okay, we didn't really have a memory lane because we don't have a memory lane.
Right.
Am I correct? Okay, but so while we're eating things, can I tell you what I learned about Little Debbie?
We didn't have a memory lane because there's a big construction project going on memory lane, and it is closed through traffic.
So I guess we can't kick the can down it like we usually
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you ever play kick the can as a kid?
No.
I think I did, but I don't really remember any of the rules of kick the can. I think... But, like, as I recall, and this may be completely wrong, there was a can in the street and you had to run out of a hiding place and go kick it before someone else did something. It sounds dangerous.
It does sound dangerous. That sounds unlikely.
Just how I rolled.
Wait, you had to run out of a hiding place to kick the can? This doesn't sound right. I always thought kick the can was just sort of like street soccer. You find a can and you kick it.
That would be so dangerous. I'm not saying that what I described isn't dangerous, but playing soccer with a tin can instead of a soccer ball, the lacerations, the tetanus, the avulsions.
Wait, what are avulsions?
I think an avulsion is when something gets pulled off, maybe.
Okay.
It's not good. I know that.
Okay. Well, can I talk about Little Debbie?
Please.
And would you decide which one we should open next in the cheesecake, in the cheese plate?
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is good. I thought I was going to have a bit of an avulsion to
Okay. All right. So, guys,
I think Swiss rolls next. It seems really classic.
Little Debbie is a brand of snack cakes made by McKee Foods, as I mentioned, which is a Tennessee-based company. And it started in the late 20s when this couple, OD and Ruth McKee, and
this couple OD'd on sugar.
No, last night when I was typing it up, I found that after typing OD, initials OD, mm-hmm. multiple times, I had accidentally changed it to OG a whole bunch of the times. Anyway, OD and Ruth McKee started selling snack cakes for 5 cents out of the back of their car.
I love how the song OG Original Gangster came out and that immediately became a thing that will be with us forever.
Forever.
It's so fun. I just find it so fun when something like that happens. And there's a new catchphrase and it's just going to stick around forever.
And it's also going to stretch back in time and be taken on by Mr. McKee of the McKee Foods Company.
Yeah, OG McKee.
Who is now OG McKee. Anyway. So, yeah. Anyway, I found far more detail than I'm going to share here mm-hmm. about the McKees and how they bought a bakery and then sold a bakery and moved to a different town in Tennessee and bought a mm-hmm. different bakery and then moved back to the first town and rebought a bakery.
Remember when we bought a zoo?
But interestingly enough, the company is still family owned, privately held. And anyway, I think that McKee Foods became what we, know it as.
I just heard of it the 3 minutes ago.
The Little Debbie Company. In 1960, apparently somebody some marketing person or whatever that the McKees were working with suggested that maybe they name the brand or a new line of products after a family member. And they were looking for, a catchy name.
Oh, okay.
So what they were doing is they were launching a new, family pack carton of snack cakes. And they decided to name this family pack carton after one of their grandchildren, who was then 4. Her name was Debbie. And they based the logo on this black and white photo of her. But they didn't tell her parents until, the boxes were being printed. Anyway, so apparently
it was a different time.
Apparently, Debbie's parents weren't very happy about what Debbie's grandparents had done. But at any rate, once Debbie was all grown up, she became an executive at the company.
Great, I guess.
Pretty cool,
okay,
huh?
Cool story. Left out this part where the company began when OD or OG and Ruth McKee were selling 5 cent snack cakes from the back of their car.
No, I said that. You weren't listening.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. cool. Mm-hmm. Well, if I had heard you, what I would have said was, if like a guy pulled up and offered to sell you snack cakes out of the back of his car, how would you feel about this? Guess it would depend on the price.
We live in much less innocent times, Matthew.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We should say that thing that people are required to say, which is that basically everything is much safer now, but we're much more scared of everything.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. You're right. Okay. Anyway, the first family pack carton of snack cakes made by Little Debbie was the oatmeal cream pie.
Oh, which we tried.
Which, when it came out in 1960, was 49 cents per pack. Now it's only $1.99. This is definitely not matched to inflation rates.
No, definitely not. So it's that.
God,
it's,
I wish I'd gone online and looked up what something that was 49 cents in 1960 should be now.
Oh, we could do that.
Okay. Hold on, we'll be right back.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Oh, while I'm looking this up, we want to give a shout out to our friends, the Book Larder podcast, which is produced by Spilled Milk's producer, Abby.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great podcast that is recorded at Book Larder, Seattle's community cookbook store, mm-hmm. which is an amazing bookstore.
And Matthew was actually on the episode called Drunk in China.
Yeah, mm-hmm. with Derek Sandhouse. That was a fun episode. There's I just started listening to today's episode, which is about fried rice with Danielle Santoli, I believe.
And if you're someone who doesn't want to listen to like an event recording, they've got some straight up interview ones with amazing people like Allison Roman, Diana Henry, Aaron Goyoaga.
Yeah, so Book Larder podcast, get it wherever you get podcasts. Okay, so I'm pulling up the inflation calculator. Enter the amount of money, 0.49. Enter the initial year. What did you say the year was?
1960.
1960, and the final year. So what was 49 cents in 1960 would cost $4.29 today.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, these things have gotten a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, hold on. We're gonna talk more about what we think of these when I'm done here.
Okay.
But anyway, so I watched this YouTube video made by Mashed, a company called Mashed. Something. Anyway, the video was called "The Untold Truth of Little Debbie."
That sounds like porn.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, according to this video, OD invented them. God, I just can't say OG.
Just call him OG. Like, he's not going to, like, come after us.
OGD.
I mean, his ghost is going to haunt us, but
OD,
we're
OG
used to that.
Invented them when he was trying to make his, like, crunchy oatmeal cookies a little softer. And I feel like that's a euphemism for something. I mean, talk about the untold truth of Little Debbie.
He was trying to make his crunchy cookies a little softer.
It's usually the opposite of what most men complain about.
But even like setting aside like the dick jokes, like is like how hard were the cookies to start with?
I know, right? Right? I wonder if it was like bricks and mortar, you know? If he was like, let me.
Dad, we need to talk. You're bad at cookies. Like, I don't know why you keep trying to sell these out of the back of your car. They are terrible. Like, kids are breaking teeth.
Or I wonder if it was that he was trying to sell, like, stale ones.
Yeah. The kids are playing kick the can with using your cookies instead of a can.
Well, anyway.
You need to soften those cookies or we are out of business.
Okay. So the oatmeal cream pie launched in 1960. And by 1964, Little Debbie was selling 14 varieties of snack cake. Okay. So
okay.
Anyway, the top selling ones, they haven't changed a lot over the years. The top selling Little Debbie products are oatmeal cream pies, Swiss cake rolls, and Nutty Bars. We have just tasted all three of these.
Yeah. So these say Nutty Buddy. I assume that's the same as a Nutty Bar.
I think so too.
And these are very tasty.
These are, it's a little candy bar.
Yeah, it's a wafer cookie with lots of peanut butter.
Oh my God, it's really good.
And I love anything with lots of peanut butter.
I'm into this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
It's really good. Anyway, apparently in 2014, when Little Debbie was launching this new product called Cosmic Cupcakes, they teamed up with the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, and they attached a pack of Cosmic Cupcakes and a Little Debbie bobblehead to a weather balloon and launched it 18 miles into space. Can you believe money was spent on this?
Is that even really space?
18 miles?
I mean,
where does space
technically
begin?
Sure. There is really is like a definitive answer for this question. I'm not going to bother to look it up. I'm sure 18 miles constitutes space.
Well,
but
on the video, The Untold Truth of Little Debbie, I saw some footage, like a bird's eye view of, you know, you can see the bobblehead and the box of Cosmic Cupcakes in the foreground. And in the background is that like classic from space view of Earth.
Is this like an artist's recreation or
no,
was this the actual thing?
This was like footage, like from a satellite, from a weather balloon.
Is it true that one of their kids crawled into the weather balloon before they launched it and went on an incredible journey? Little OG.
Wait, what book is that based
no,
on?
It was Balloon Boy. It was a hoax, an internet hoax from like 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yes. Like some YouTube family like wanted to like get some hype going. So they pretended that one of their kids had crawled into a helium balloon, like a homemade hot air balloon type of dealio. And was like sailing the skies and like maybe he would come back alive or not. But actually, there was never a kid on the balloon.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, Matthew.
Yeah.
I think that your next novel should be about this guy.
I bet there's been a, wait, which guy? Balloon Boy?
The kid, or, Balloon Boy.
I think my next novel should be about OG McKee. I mean, should definitely have a character named OG McKee who... Sounds more like an old-timey prospector, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Speaking of, I don't know.
Speaking of old-timey prospectors, we're looking for gold in this zebra cakes box. When you were a kid, did you ever have a moment where you thought you might, like, successfully pan for gold?
No, but I think most kids do.
I totally did. Like, when I heard about this, I'm like, okay, like, this is going to be my thing. I'm going to be the panning for gold kid, and I am going to find gold in, like, a stream, like, near a hiking trail near my house.
I definitely have been hiking and encountered, like, a couple of adult humans, mm-hmm. not children,
OG and Ruth McKee.
Who were completely, seriously, like, searching for gold in a stream in Washington State.
Did you know that, did you listen to any of the Pixies podcast about the making of the recent Pixies album?
I didn't.
In this podcast, I learned that Pixies drummer David Lovering is a true eccentric, and one of the many things he's really into is metal detecting.
Really?
Yeah. And, like, he made it sound pretty fun.
I was at Carkeek Park in Seattle recently and had my dog with me, and I was going to go down onto the beach, and there are big signs there that say, like, dogs are not allowed on public beaches in Seattle, you'll be fined, whatever. And I'll be honest, I was going to ignore it because mm-hmm. I am a bad person. But then I looked down onto the beach from where I was standing, and I could see two people with metal detectors down there,
oh.
like sweeping over the sand. And then I looked more closely and realized that they were like Park Service people.
Park Service people use metal detectors?
Well, I think they were wearing like official uniforms, and I think that they were like cleaning up down there.
Okay.
Like, I think that maybe, I don't know, like looking for like buried tin cans, buried garbage,
oh,
et cetera.
To play, they were going to play kick the can if they found a can. They wanted to kick the can disposal problem.
Anyway, I did not take my dog down onto the beach.
Hmm.
This is the zebra cake, which is a hexagonal cake that is like two layers of white cake with white cream in the middle, and it's coated in a white glaze with then stripes of chocolate across the top. And I don't see a reason.
Don't like it.
I don't see a reason for this product to exist.
Well. Yeah,
I mean, what do you taste the chocolate frosting?
No, I think like in the same way that I like any shitty thing made with peanut butter. I think there are people who really enjoy like a shitty cake, and I think this would probably do it for those people. Mm. And I don't mean this in a derogatory way
no.
at all.
I love shitty grocery store cakes, and this tastes a little bit like a mm-hmm. shitty grocery store cake. However, the aftertaste is a little
yeah.
off.
Well, like, I mean, they have to make it last.
I could get in. I would go down on this.
You would get in it.
Except for that aftertaste.
Yeah. Well, if you just keep eating it, maybe the aftertaste will never show up. Like, keep eating it continuously from now until your eventual death.
Okay. Anyway, hold on. Okay.
Until your eventual death from cake overdose.
I'm trying to find a segue into this next thing I want to tell you.
All the segues on this episode have been absolutely primo so far, so I believe in you.
In 2015, thieves in North Carolina ransacked a Little Debbie delivery van and stole 65 cases of snack cakes. What is wrong with people?
Worth a total of $21.
Yeah, totally. Totally. No, seriously, those would all amount to being worth, like, barely $100.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you're...
But you'd be rich in snack cakes.
I mean, I think this is like a another like thing people say that's probably true, but whether or not people continue saying it, like criminals are dumb. Like the only smart criminals are on TV.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Like Dexter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is a honey bun. This reminds me.
This grosses me out for some reason.
Remember when we did the shelf-stable breakfast pastries episode years ago?
It looked like something had been sat upon.
And then you actually sat on it. It looks like you sat on this honey bun.
It does. Anyway, so Little Debbie.
This is very clammy.
I didn't.
It's not good, but.
Okay, I'll try it.
Sorry, I interrupted.
I love it when you describe snack cakes as clammy. Anyway, Little Debbie is the number one brand of snack cake in the U.S., like above Hostess.
Interesting. Well, it's much cheaper.
That's a good point.
What this makes me think of, the honey bun, which is sort of like a cinnamon roll analog, is something you would get at a continental breakfast at a very cheap motel.
That's exactly right? What this is. I think they're probably in the back unwrapping honey buns and putting them out.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the back unwrapping honey buns. If you need me, I'll be in the back unwrapping honey buns.
Okay. One last tidbit about the McKee family. So the family, they're Seventh Day Adventists.
Okay.
And they have been sponsoring NASCAR teams since the 1990s. But one of the things that they like stipulate in their sponsorship deals is that from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday,
okay,
the Sabbath, Little Debbie sponsored teams cover or remove their Little Debbie logos.
Oh, wow.
And the crew wears like non-Little Debbie attire. And this is a condition of the sponsorship.
I have questions.
I do too. I mean, like, I get that it's the Sabbath, but I'm amazed that Little Debbie would want their logos removed during that time. That seems like peak NASCAR time.
I mean, yes, but like I understand, like if that is like the religious code. My question is, what do they wear when they're not wearing Little Debbie? Is it just like kind of polo shirts and slacks, or are they wearing like the Hostess logo and just holding their middle fingers up high?
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, wow. Okay, Matthew. So hold on. What was your favorite here?
My favorite NASCAR team. I'm going to have to say.
No, your favorite Little Debbie snack cake.
Nutty Buddies by a mile.
Nutty Buddies are great.
But I mean, one thing that was puzzling to me about Little Debbie's, in addition to the price and the fact that they have their own section, is that they're both cakes. There are some cakes and some cookies, but they're not like highly differentiated in terms of packaging and certainly not in terms of shelving. Isn't that the craziest thing you've ever heard?
That's just crazy.
Didn't I just blow your mind?
Actually, I stopped listening about halfway through. What I wanted to say is that on the end of this box of Nutty Buddies, there is what seems to be like a company slogan, and it is, "Today we bake."
Oh, wow.
Is that a...
Not Saturday.
Is that a vaguely...
Or Sunday?
Saturday.
Not Sunday.
Saturday.
Saturday.
Is that a vaguely religious thing? Today we bake? Like, today we pray, give us this day our daily baking? Oh, God, Matthew, we're going to hell.
You and I are definitely the most qualified people to weigh in on whether this is a religious thing.
Anyway, I really like the Nutty Buddy. I would not kick the Swiss roll out of bed. I probably also wouldn't kick the oatmeal cream pie out of bed. But
yeah,
the zebra
it was
cakes,
not bad.
The honey buns.
Yeah, the zebra cake, it is fun to smush it with your hand through the package, which I bet there is a multiple YouTube channels of just people smushing Little Debbie cakes.
Oh, that is fun.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, like I was going to say it would feel wasteful to give you a whole new one to smush, but I'm just going to throw them out.
Okay. The way that like, so you smush it down, it smushes to a certain point and then it starts like
oozing
kind of bouncing back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it just makes me think about all sorts of like principles of physics, like, you know, that we cannot actually destroy this matter.
Well, it's got a spring constant.
Ugh.
Remember the spring constant?
No, I never took physics.
Oh, so like the
air in this package makes it really hard to adequately smush it to my liking.
Oh, well, you can, the one I smushed, the package was already open. But I mean, you still did a really good job.
Now I'm really like kind of just massaging it with my fingers.
Oh, wow.
And, just pulverizing it. I'm basically turning it into like baby food.
This is kind of disturbing, but it was much more disturbing the time you did this to a real zebra.
Put it in a bag and smushed
it
up with my fingers.
Crushed it into dust.
Oh, that's satisfying.
Yeah. Okay, well, this was instructive, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You really turned it back into batter.
I did.
Like, if you added, like, a little milk to that or something, it would be... Well, I guess you'd be... I guess you're making cake pops, right?
Yeah, I'm making... Yeah. I'm going to make a cake pop.
Yeah. I think a zebra cake pop might be kind of good.
Oh, I like how
Again,
it holds
I'm sure this
shape.
Has been done.
I like how it holds its shape.
Okay, so Molly is going to be playing with food for the rest of the day. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com. And facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where we'd like to know, like, what is the Little Debbie item or just, like, the like, snack aisle snack cake item that we left out that you love and why?
Our producer is Abby Circatella.
Yep. You can find us on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast. I'm going to post a picture of this thing that Molly destroyed.
Why don't you post, like, a boomerang of me squeezing it?
You would have to teach me how to do that.
Oh, God, I knew it. Okay. Anyway, you can... Did you already say that you can leave us a review?
Oh, no, I didn't.
You know, guys, reviews, they really make a difference, especially if they're not bad.
Well, no, they make a difference both ways. Like, a difference doesn't have to be good.
They make a positive difference. Right. And don't we all want to make a positive difference?
In the life of another?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Anyway, so, like, you can leave us a review on... iTunes, no, not iTunes.
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, yep. Castbox, everywhere. Google Podcasts, everywhere else.
On a billboard, anywhere yes. you want.
Get a billboard. Put yep. on it. What should people put on their billboard? Because, like, we want to control the message.
I love kicking the can with Spilled Milk Podcast.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
I love kicking the can with Spilled Milk Podcast. Find a picture of us on the internet. Put it on that billboard.
Yep.
And we'll take a selfie of ourselves in front of the billboard. Except, like, that's probably hard to do because we'd be down on the ground and the billboard would be way up in
Thanks
the air.
Thanks for listening to Spilled Milk.
So in the selfie, you'd see it right up our nostrils. And I'm Matthew Amster Burton. Oh, my God. I don't want Pauly Shore to be my character witness.
Oh, okay, here we go.
we're going to do this? Okay. So next, we'd like to call to the stand Pauly Shore. All right, let's take a recess.
Okay. Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.